Hello and welcome to Bluebells Forever, a podcast with interviews of Bluebell dancers past and present. Join Sherry Lewis, a Bluebell herself, as she leads us on a journey through story and experience. And now here's Sherry.
Thank you for listening to Bluebells Forever podcast. We truly appreciate you listening to this. And we'd love that it is a worldwide community of people that were in the shows, people that are curious about the shows. And it matters to those of us in the show that we preserve this well. And so hearing these stories from the people who lived it is very important than just someone giving a history lesson. So besides the podcast, there is a book that is out on Amazon, which I have taken 84 of the interviews and condensed them down and then included incredibly beautiful photos of these performers in their glory days, as well as set designer and costume designers, wardrobe, singers. There's great stories in this book as well as here in the recording, but if you'd like it as a permanent keepsake on your coffee table, and this book is almost as big as a coffee table, it's huge, and it's because of all the beautiful photos. So that is on Amazon.com, and there's a digital version and a print version. So you could look out for that if you'd like to have yours as a keepsake. And also, if you'd like to help the podcast out, it really helps if we get review and rated and then share it with friends. We just want more people to know about us and to have this history live on even after we're long gone. So if you wouldn't mind doing a review on iTunes or Spotify, it would be truly appreciated. And now enjoy this next interview. So welcome, Deshaun.
Hi, Sherry.
Deshaun Morton. This, and we've been putting this off our schedules. Like, people are busy. And so it's hard to connect it. And we do. Woo, we did it. And I want to do a little lead up of how I know you and why your connection between my Seattle community and my Bluebell community come to a point and once in a while in Seattle.
Yeah.
Because I moved back from dancing and traveling, and I didn't know anyone was in this area that did what I did because we didn't have social media. And there's like six or seven Bluebells that are like 10 minutes from me. And we had no idea until reunions, like, wait, we live in the same state. But then also, like, that doesn't really cross over into my, like, Westlake Dance Center life. Or, yeah, like, I did Dance This for years for the Seattle Theater Group. Mm-hmm. And I knew Cabby for a few years before I realized we even did the same show because we weren't in the same time. And so that's, like, how sometimes these separate communities, when they collide, is, like, I don't know why it's surprising. But I did a thing with you. You reached out to, which I love that I got to do that, with STG, Seattle Theater Group.
Yeah.
At University of Washington, which I love those dance studios so much. Yeah, I love the space of a beautiful building. So we just were talking before my class started, and I don't even know how we brought up Cabby, but I know I lit up. I'm like, Cabby, you know Cabby. Yeah. And then you told me you'd been mentored, and I'm like, I really want to follow the story because he was adored. And I think this bridge between our worlds and a legacy that somebody can leave, and that he's passed, but his legacy is living on in you. Like, I'm just, makes me so happy. You're still doing what he fostered in you.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, how did we get on that? I think we were just chatting before class. And then I had said something about being the school director at Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center. And then you were like, oh, and this is what usually happens. Isn't that Cabby School? And I'm like, yes, it's Cabby School.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And most people light up when you say the word Cabby Mitchell. So the people listening that didn't work with Cabby may have heard of him, but in Hello Hollywood Hello, which he was in, I think, the year before me, he was there, I think, the opening. It was the biggest show in the world. And the people that got to work with him may not even have met him. That's what's so weird. That show was so big. There's people like, how do we work together and never meet? Well, our dressing rooms were opposite sides. But I found, like, after I worked with him that we worked together. But the people that worked with him adore him. And so I feel it's really important to tell this part of his story because the other people told that part of him in the show, but a lot of us lose track and no idea what people did after. So let's actually talk about what you do now, and then we'll go backwards of how Cabby has been a part of your life.
Okay. Yeah. I have two major things that are going on in my life at the moment. So one is being the school director at Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center, which is the school that Cabby co-founded. So our current executive director, Claire Etheridge, and he began the inner workings of the school. But Cabby passed away 2 months before the school opened. And so, although his legacy runs really deep, it's Claire who's really been like holding on to that and pushing forward. And there's so many community members that had connections with Cabby that are involved in the organization or have connections with the organization and are really working hard to make sure that what he saw like comes to fruition. And that's a classical ballet school for Black, brown, and other marginalized kids.
Really? Oh, I didn't know it was ballet focused. Okay.
So Cabby was a ballet dancer in many ways. He danced with the Dance Theater of Harlem. He was the first Black dancer with Pacific Northwest Ballet, first Black soloist with Pacific Northwest Ballet. So he was definitely a ballet dancer through and through. And so seeing that, the youth of color didn't have this space in Tacoma and being a large part of the Tacoma community, this is something that he wanted to start in order to see, that community grow and that community have those opportunities to have quality training in
Yeah.
dance and then access to the opportunities that come with that professional level training.
Do you know where Cabby trained? Because I think I knew he grew up in this area, but I don't think I
Gosh.
really knew. He taught at PMB,
Cabby.
like I took his class and knew him from Owajo, but I don't really know where he came from as far as his training.
I have
Not to
to
put you on
look
the
up
spot, sorry.
his. No, you're fine. I have to look up where he trained. I know Cabby's from Oakland.
Okay.
And I know where he danced professionally. I'm not sure school-wise where he grew up training.
Because he had great training, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I know
Just
even
looking
for
at.
boys don't even start dance sometimes till way later. And so they're
Yeah.
already a little bit behind. And then what's affordable, what is in the area that you actually live in and have it be quality is it's not a given that that's going to be that easy.
Right, absolutely.
What were you starting to say? Sorry.
Oh no, I don't actually recall what I was trying to say,
So
but I was
sorry.
going to answer the second part of your question. So yeah, that was all the portion kind of with Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center, but how we officially connected was through my other job, which is with Seattle Theater Group. And so our little elevator spiel, Seattle Theater Group is the nonprofit organization that stewards the historic Paramount, Neptune, and more theaters. But yeah, I had the opportunity. I'm the dance manager for Seattle Theater Group. And so I work in our education department, or community engagement and education department. And we basically connect the community to all of these different art experiences or performances that are happening. By finding ways to bring them to the theater, as well as finding ways to bring those artists back into the community and finding different ways that we can connect the community with local dance artists or local artists in general.
It's an amazing program, and all I really knew for a long time was Dance This, which in the summertime, like I would teach musical theater, but I love that those kids got to take African ballet, modern
Yeah.
choreography. Oh my God, I can't even think. There were so many things that a lot of kids have never had got. It's like a sampler. And so I would love when I'd get kids that loved hip hop and they'd have to come take my musical theater. I'm like, I am going to make you a lover of musical theater. Damn it, by the end of this time,
Yes.
and would see them follow, but then to see people that only did ballet get to try African or get to try modern, and then to see the communities come together because that first few days, everybody's kind of separate or they don't know anybody. There's people that come from out of state for this.
Yeah.
And by the end, to see what dance does to like kind of bring this community, and then they put on this amazing show at the end that parents can come see on the, it was at the Moore most of the
About
time.
the more,
So
yes.
those to get to perform in that beautiful space. And
Yeah,
to
it's a
see, and
historic theater.
I loved it. I loved when they did the show and tell kind of thing, but then the performance when they'd
Yeah.
have the costumes like Indonesia and like all the different cultural arts. And then my favorite is the end is when they would dance together with all, they'd all teach each other part of the other one's style.
Yeah, for the
Oh, I would cry every time, like, see, we can do this
finale.
as humans. It is possible to keep your heritage and to keep your cultural ties and still share it without it being taken. I don't know. There's something that made me believe in the arts in a different way of how STG sets that up is
Yeah.
exposure to different things without watering everything down.
Absolutely. And Dance This, so Dance This is like STG's huge dance conglomerate, right? Like we have the Dance This performance, which everything that you kind of explained is happening then. But like leading up to the performance, there's a cross-cultural workshop. So all of those different cultural groups get together to take classes and like the short sample classes in each style. The way that like those different connecting pillars are built along the process to the performance is really interesting because this was my first year doing it. And this year, although I was stepping into my position at STG, I was also awarded the Dance This Artist in Residence. So that's another sub program under the Dance This umbrella, but that program provides a stipend and a budget to a local choreographer to develop a new piece. So I was able to have like auditions, hire dancers, find rehearsal space, pay those dancers in order to do that Dance This performance. So we were worked into the cross-cultural workshop, the cultural meetings beforehand, and then that the dancers being able to participate in that kind of mashup for finale. That was great.
Oh my gosh. Well, like Donald McKay, is that right? McKay, like they've brought in some
Yeah.
big people. They've
Well,
Ailey,
yeah.
the people they bring in are huge. And these kids
Yeah,
to get
so
to work with this in an
yeah,
intense
absolutely.
rehearsal process is huge, huge for if you're going to go on for a career or not.
Yeah. And that's one of the cool things about it is that not only is it bringing all of these different local cultural dance forms and organizations together, but it does bring those national and international names. So last year during Dance This, we had a piece from Dance Theater Harlem choreographed by Robert Garland. And then we had a piece that was choreographed by, I believe it was Chloe Arnold from Syncopated Ladies. And so, but in the past, there's been pieces from like Jamel Gaines and Creative Outlet, Spectrum with Donald Byrd, Donald McHale, as you had said. Man, the list goes on. I think Tabitha Napoleon at some point had done something. So yeah, it's a big program. And again, that's just one part of it because there's so many sub programs that have also come out of it.
I know we've hosted some at Westlake that when a Broadway show was coming through to Paramount, they would set up a master class with one of the dancers usually.
Yeah.
And for these kids to get to dance with somebody in the cast, and then I think they get either reduced ticket rate or something, and to see that person they train
Yeah.
with in that theater, I mean, it just opens up the hopes and dreams. But also, you can't open
Absolutely.
that up without opportunity and equity. Like, it is sad. Like, look at kids, these are things you can never do. So, I think
Right.
what you guys
And
do,
we
it
don't want
fosters that, like, you have to have a vision, but you have to have a way to get there.
that.
And so, I've been really impressed. Like, we've hosted a few, and just, like, to see original choreography done by somebody who's in the cast is. I mean, I can't imagine these
Yeah.
opportunities. When I was a kid, I had no idea these things existed. But it's like a lot of people won't know it exists until you do the outreach part. And so I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm going all over the place with this interview. I want to get to Cabby, but how do you guys
No,
even
I'm
do the
with you.
outreach to get to the ones that don't even know that this is something they could do?
Yeah, it's one, it's teamwork. It's teamwork and it's a lot of like networking, community building, getting out there and meeting people. I know since I've been there 6 or 7 months, but I've really been able to use like my personal connections that I've built and then also lean on my team with connections that they've built and connecting each other and building like a huge web. We do, outreach and email marketing. We'll do events at schools when we can. We through our various programs in our department, we have relationships with different schools and studios or other arts organizations. And so it's really just putting your feet to the pavement and getting the word out there. We do have a marketing department as well, so we're able to, do some paid marketing and things like that. But a lot of it comes from really just building and like nurturing relationships and knowing where to find those students or having connections to those people who know those students and can send them our way.
Yeah, it's very inspiring and so needed. So I want to ask how, what your growing up with dance was and like your path and then where you merge with Cabbie. So the stories actually like are braided together.
Well, I didn't start dancing till really late. I was about 15. And I had always liked to dance, you know. I just never had done it on stage. I remember I was probably 11 or 12 when my mom tried to get me to audition for a local dance group, but I wouldn't do it because I was just too scared to audition. And so once I started going to the Tacoma School of the Arts in high school, I ended up taking a dance class there, and it stuck with me. And so I was lucky enough from there to like really be nurtured by the community here. My dance teacher at SOTA connected me with another dance teacher in the area who was running like a free ballet school in the downtown area of Tacoma. And so I was studying there after school in those free classes, and then my teacher there had recommended me for a scholarship to Tacoma City Ballet, which is one of the
Yeah,
more
it's a big one.
established dance schools here in Tacoma. And so that's where I ended up meeting Cabbie. Cabbie would teach at Tacoma City Ballet. And so he came in one day and he was teaching class. And from the day we met, he just kind of took me under his wing in so many ways. So from there, he took me out. I had my first professional gig through Cabbie, which was Black Nativity, which was an annual show that
Yeah.
happened, yeah, here in the Seattle area. And then he had me on other things. We performed out in Olympia, again, a paid gig. I had just started dancing. Like, I really wasn't even that good, but he saw something.
Yeah.
And had me performing, yeah, from Evergreen State College, Tacoma campus to the Olympia campus, to downtown Olympia, up in Seattle. He just really took me under his wing and like put me out there and showed me that, like, showed me the life, honestly.
Did you, because it's been, it took a while to get you even in to take a dance class and to do the audition. What was it like when you actually set foot in there? Was it a gradual love for dance or did it, or right away? Because some people like, where's this been my whole life? And some people like, I still don't know. Or if you're a shy kid, it's a hard thing, and then you're doing this in high school, which is also a stigma around dance. And like, you have to want to do it to commit after school and go do this, give up other things.
No, it took me right away. It took me right away. There was no looking back after that. And I was in a great environment. So at the time at the School of the Arts, we only accepted sophomores to seniors. There was no freshman class. So typically students went to another high school their freshman year and then transferred in after auditioning. But you could also play sports through your senior year at your previous high school. So you would just leave or get like early dismissal and then commute over to wherever you had gone previously to be on team. And so originally when I started dancing, one, it was a great environment because I was at the School of the Arts. We're there to be artists, right? So there was never any type of question or bullying behind dance or me
Yeah.
dancing. But oddly enough, I still played like baseball and football that first year while I was at the School of the Arts and when I started dancing. And even though I would go back to my old high school, I never got any pushback from like my teammates. Little jokes as boys do, right?
Yeah.
But all still with like a lot of love, respect, and support. So I've never really been in a situation where I've had to deal with like bullying or just lack of support.
Yeah. Well, say they have ballet or ballet, they have football teams do ballet and they learn it's good. And like, then it's respected. But to actually, because I played powder
Man.
for 1 year, which is funny. It was terrible. It was flag. But I would have to leave football early to go to ballet and they would laugh. And then I would do that. And then I would come to ballet full of mud and they would laugh because the things in their mind didn't go. I'm like, no, professional football players take ballet for agility and be able to change your direction quick. And it's like, it's so important. But to have to, like I've heard boys that like were sneaking out of the house to go to ballet because their parents wouldn't want them to go. Like instead of saying, I'm going to ballet or whatever to
out and do drugs or whatever. Like, no, I'm sneaking off to a ballet class without my parents and my friends finding out. It's like the, what if people know? But I'm so glad you have that support, because that's where a lot of people just don't follow through because it's too hard in their own community to you know, to get to the level they need to and put that much work.
Yes, absolutely. So I try my best to fight that constantly, especially for the young boys. And like, let's kind of abandon all of those stereotypes. Dance is for all, you know what I'm saying? And the benefits that come from it, I wish more people could understand. Like, I think that my life would have been totally different without dance. It had got me out of, I guess you would say, my inner city life in Tacoma, where I was able to go to college on scholarship. I moved around the country. I've traveled the world, you know what I'm saying? And all of that is from dance. I've gotten amazing jobs, even outside of the arts world, in like real estate, property management, restaurant management. And every time I've done so, they see dancer on my resume and they're like, oh my gosh, you're a dancer? It's a conversation starter at interviews. People really respect the amount of like discipline and work ethic that dancers have, because that's just a part of the training and the lifestyle. And so it transfers to the workplace so well. And so I try to really get people to see, I find myself now at this point in my career, trying to really get people to understand the benefits. So like, yes, the step is important. But beyond the step, think about how this is building your child, right? Think about the world that this is opening up for your child. And because it is the arts, right? It's competitive, but you know, at Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center, where our mission is really focusing on engaging Black and Brown or other marginalized youth, the odds of making it in a dance career are going to be higher than some of those other areas where we try to make it in sports or football or basketball. So yeah, at this point in my career, I find myself really trying to push with people like, here are the benefits of dance outside of dance, beyond just like the high leg or the multiple turns.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I've interviewed quite a few people that did the shows that I did. And a lot of them, like when they do management, they say that they're astounded that people think you can show up late for something. If you're doing a performance, you don't like show up 10 minutes late. And you understand that you're part of a big picture, that everyone has to shine for the whole thing. And I think you have a different awareness of how each person matters, showing up, communication, things that people get away with now that I'm like, how do you have a job in the real world that you don't communicate or answer an email or, you know, like things like that. But it's like, you have an understanding built in there. Like that show starts at 8 o'clock if you're there or not. And if you're not there, it's not, you're just going to get in trouble, but it shows. Like, I feel like that work ethic of you're part of something bigger, as opposed to like, well, it's bigger, so I don't even matter. It's the mindset is flipped, I think, in the arts.
Yes.
That your presence matters, even if it's big.
Yes. Even more than you may think.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's also when you're trying to find an identity in the world. You're not just a cog. You're part of the mosaic. You're part of the whole masterpiece in a way that when kids are figuring out who they are, it's like, it's kind of nice to know that you are some part of something bigger and everybody. So where does the management part show up? Is that from college or like that you've ended up, you know, running both these huge, huge organizations? Yeah. Like that's a big thing. And a lot of times people are very artistic minded, and to go into something like management, the brain sometimes does not overlap in those two areas.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think if I put it the way my mom would put it, we call ourselves figure outers. So I've always just been someone that just like is willing to figure it out. I think so. Aside from like my dance training, I've had a lot of, you know, while you're dancing, you have lots of little side jobs to try and, you know, make ends meet. So I've just learned a lot from all of those different experiences. And, you know, there's also been a phase of like, okay, well, I'm trying to take on bigger, more professional roles in order to make more income, because I'm still not quite making as much as I would like to. So then I've taken on administrative jobs and things, and all of those skills kind of have compiled over time to really help me to make what I'm doing now manageable.
Yeah.
And I credit it from one, being a figure outer, but then also being in so many situations where like I have been in a managerial role or a supervisory role, or even if I'm not, I'm just learning new skills and then putting those on top of each other.
Yeah, there's such good stuff packed in there. And I think the like a lot of us that did the shows, we moved a lot. So you don't really get time to be complacent. You're figuring it out. Like, I have to set up a new community, and where am I getting my partner, and how I make a living outside of dance, because usually we have to do other jobs while we're dancing or teaching. Not you, it's hard to make a living just doing your art form. But when you're always changing it up, it's sometimes like when people say, "Don't you miss security?" I'm like, I would die if I had a 9-to-5 job that was exactly the same every day. There's certain personalities that need that. And my friends are like, that would make me crazy not to know what my next gig is. And I'm like, no, it makes you always open and aware, and you always have to have community connections instead of like, I'm just, the Marlboro man on my own. I don't need anybody. Like, it does foster that, like that figure it out and
It
creativity in a
does.
way that I see in artists that like in their 70s are still recreating and still finding different facets of themselves that maybe were fostered a long time ago that get to come out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's like you said, I love how you put that. It's like we move often, so there's a lot of restarting. And that's a part of like the drive and that go-getter is I've moved many times, and moved many times with nothing.
Yeah, you have to
But the
start over,
clothes that I
really start over.
had, right.
Yeah.
So when I moved to DC, it was a complete start over from zero. When I moved to New York, start over from zero. But it's that like that drive, and then you get used to kind of what are the steps that I need to take in order to get myself there. So I know when I'm talking a lot to like, especially like young adults that I may work with or mentor, and they're like, oh, it's so hard to find a job and so hard to do those things. And I'm like, yeah, it is, But at the same time, I've done this about six times and a job within a month, month and a half max. I'm like, so there's steps, there's things that you take, you learn from your life experiences, and it makes the next time you have to do it so much easier.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you use the word mentor. And when we first talked about Cabby, you said he was your mentor because. I think most people are pretty gracious in the arts, but some people like, I got here, you got to figure it out. Like, nobody helped me, I'm not going to help anybody. And some of us like, well, no, because one person spoke something into my life, I'm here. And some people do without thinking. Some people are intentional about mentoring, but most of the stories I hear is because somebody saw something. They were told, like, your hips are wrong to be a ballerina or this and this. And someone said, no, I see something. Like you said, Cabby saw something in you because we need those. We need good mentors because I know a lot of us work with toxic teachers that it is like the fear of your student outgrowing you. And maybe you're not, I mean, you see that and it's not healthy, but when it's done well, you want your student to surpass you. Most people won't
Absolutely.
admit that their ego wants that. Like, yeah, it's like, no, you only get to be as good as I was. I don't, but it is, there has to be some humility. So I'm curious as far as Cabby as a mentor, it wasn't just here's some steps of how to be a dancer. I feel like there's probably more character hearing you talk and hearing what I know of Cabby as far as his quirky, wonderful, weird, wonderful, loving
I know.
self.
Such a spirit, such a spirit.
Yeah, such a spirit.
Well, honestly, Cabby was absolutely a mentor. I had him only for a couple of classes, right? Like whenever he was teaching at TCB on occasion is when I got to take class with him. But more so anything, he was there as like a resource and there as a plug. And he always made sure that like opportunities were coming my way. And even after I left and moved away, there were still so many things that came from Cabby's name. There are times when I would just call him and I would remember him saying, oh yeah, I know this person. Just tell him you know me.
Which is true. If anyone said Cabby worked with him, like, oh yeah, that's enough for me.
I mean, then there's I just countless amount of times in my career that I've met someone and they find that I'm connected to him and I see them light up and the whole energy of our conversation shifts. And yeah, it's hard to explain.
I felt it when we said that. We both went, huh, like, you get brighter. I did shows with Cabby in Seattle. Like, there was the music hall that got torn down, which broke a lot of art. They were trying to get that, the production show thing in Seattle, was on Olive Way, beautiful theater. The chandeliers would rise up when the show started, and everybody was trying to get a show in there, and it didn't last. Like Ben Vereen had a show, but Cabby and I were in two shows together, and great work ethic, professional, but things that we would side eye or say under our breath that would like, do not stand next to me because I'm going to lose it and I'm going to pee my pants on stage, because he could be snarky in a way, but still be so loving and fun. But he would have been stitches and we were both like irreverent when it was appropriate and professional when it wasn't, but he just made like those shows so much fun in rehearsal. I'm like, I can't believe I'm dancing with Cabby Mitchell, because I knew I have him from PMB, but it took me a long time to figure out he did the same shows I did. And people respected him. But what did you know any of that part of his life that he had been like, and this was the biggest show in the world that we were in, and he was wearing G-strings and he was doing like coming out of the ceiling on this disco wall that we were all on together. And it's like some people don't quite understand that world, or if you're a ballet teacher, maybe you don't let people know that part of your story. But for me, I'm owning it proudly now. I'm like, yeah, that was great training. And so I'm wondering if you knew any of that part of his life.
Very little of it, you know. A lot of times, you know, I consider Cabby to be like a dance dad, right? And so a lot of times with kids and their parents, you just know your parents as your parents, right?
Right.
And I feel like I knew at the time that Cabby was a big deal. I knew he knew a lot of people, and I knew that he had danced with Pacific Northwest Ballet. But now that I'm home, and honestly, like, in a sense, walking in his footsteps, I keep running into people and I'm learning so many different things about what he'd done, or like barriers that he had broken that I didn't even know. So it's like, there's this even stronger connection, is because it's like, oh, you were just Cabby. But like, now I'm learning that, no, you were Cabby.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, the interview I did with his roommate, Michael Shepherd, and there was three other boys that was called the Black Boy Line. And we go, is that name problematic? Like, just things we look at now and go, what was that for you guys? But the conversation was so great. And they were talking about when Cabby got to go in the pot of cease in the space number, that was the coveted thing. It was like the Royal Ballet Academy trained dancers that had that. It was like incredible technique. And he went in as an understudy and killed it. And their reaction of watching him in the wings, because like, yes, you got to be featured in Heatwave and you got to be featured in the disco thing, but to be featured in that, of breaking a barrier that people didn't know was a barrier until you saw it broken.
Yeah.
And they were up and down. They hugged him like, do you know what you just did? And like the way they tell that story made me cry, because they were so proud of him. But like, damn it, you earned it. It's like, why does it take so long to be recognized? But when it is, this deserves a big celebration. So that people know that too, of some breaking some barriers that way, that he's, I don't know if he was intentional. Like Cabby just shows up as this Cabby and then like blows everybody out of the water and go, oh yeah, well, of course you should be front and center. Why weren't you front and center before?
And that's always great when it just happens, when it just happens, right? Like, because of who you are, because of your skill, because of your training and your presence, like you gain those opportunities. But yeah, that's something that I learned about Cabby from you, because I didn't know that.
Well, there's a picture when I went to my reunion for Hello Hollywood Hello. I think he had just passed the year before, and they had it in memory board, which was very sad of how many people we've lost. But there's a picture of Cabby in the white tights, which is in PMB, and everybody knows that picture because like it's beautiful. But then I had just learned, I knew he was I didn't know he was the first black principal, and so like, oh, he's a bigger deal
because
he's black soloist. Yeah, because he was. Yeah. He was Cabby, so humble and goofy. And so you could work next to someone and go, wait, what? Also for you at the school, can you explain what that was based on, like the vision and what it's doing now, the Tacoma Urban School of Dance, is that correct?
Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center.
Performing Arts Center, let's get that right, because we also want to put a link to that so people can check it out.
For sure, we call it Tupac for short.
That's what that comes from. Okay. Yes. I love it.
And everyone's always say, well, I'm involved or I work at Tupac. They're like, the rapper? I'm like, no. The dance
then
school,
you get to explain
come
it.
Check us out.
At least you get their attention, though, where they have to pay attention. Okay. Got that written down.
And it makes so much sense when you're thinking about like the community that we're nestled in and who we're trying to serve.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that school, that was Cabby's brainchild. And so it was his desire to start a school that was modeled after the Dance Theater of Harlem that provided quality ballet training for the young Black, Brown, and other marginalized students in Tacoma. So as I was saying before, he passed away about 2 months before the school actually opened. And then his co-founder, Claire Etheridge, has been our founder and executive director since, and is still now today. But yeah, we're doing a lot of work making like connections and bringing like high-level professional Black artists to Tacoma to work with the youth at our school. We're making strides to do like more community performances and really get our students out there. And then also finding ways to like partner with schools and other organizations to really increase, the population of dance in Tacoma.
Is it, do you have to go out into like the schools to get kids to come in, or are they finding you, or is it a little bit of both? Because I think when people don't know there's an opportunity because they're not exposed, it's harder to know they could actually do this.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Right now we try to do a lot of marketing, so we're having mostly people finding us and coming in. We're working on doing some programmings in schools, but part of the struggle, and this as school director, just being honest, is part of the struggle is finding those Black artists who are working, teaching, and performing at that high level, or interested in doing so that they can be trained up at that level to
Yeah.
really reflect the community that we're trying to build. So I think representation is extremely important, right? Like, I did not know or fathom being a dancer or being a ballet dancer until I met Cabby. And that was that Black male representation. And then he helped to ensure that I was exposed to the Dance Theater of Harlem, where I saw these, I was a football player, I played sports, and I saw them come to Tacoma to perform. And I'm seeing these Black men on stage with the same body as me, but they're moving so gracefully and they're leaping in the air and splitting their legs and lifting women across the stage. And, had I not seen that, I don't think that I would be dancing. I don't think that I would be doing what I was doing. So that importance of like that representation in our faculty or in those who are working on behalf of the organization in those areas, we're working on building that. And so finding those artists of color who have that drive for really performing and teaching dance at a high level so that our students really can go out and take hold of any of those opportunities that are out there that we were talking about earlier, that the ways that art helps to advance life that a lot of people don't necessarily see or understand unless they're in it.
When you said at an advanced level too, because there were some of the kids too was like, well, who wants to teach hip hop? You? Okay, you're a ballet teacher, that's fine. I feel it's not helping the reputation of hip hop as like, my mom's teaching my hip hop, but she's only, So the high level, because you want to know you can go further instead of like this is just recreational. And I think that you hit on something really important for people to go, well, how far can I go with this? If you don't see anybody that's doing it well and professionally, it's hard to think that there's a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you have to see it to know it. And so it's beautiful because through Cabby and through Claire's connections, we have these great relationships with the Dance Theater of Harlem, with Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, with Pacific Northwest Ballet, who gives us a lot. We're able to take our students to go and see shows regularly at Pacific Northwest Ballet, when we have Ailey or Dance Theater Harlem in town, they're at the studio teaching master classes for the community. And so that's one way that we're able to infuse that right now is giving them those opportunities to see, like, hey, this is where you can go with this. This big stage in this auditorium that holds 2,400 people,
And it's full.
Or you see these dancers and they're coming back and telling you stories of when they went out of the country to go here, or they were here working with, I don't know, maybe some of them were working with some of our commercial artists, Janet Jackson, J-Lo, but bringing those people straight to them so they can see it firsthand.
You're hitting on such. I did an interview with, well, four of them, but two. There was two when I was in Paris at the Lido, And how there was like my friend who I'm going to be friends with him. He said, "Do you know the word token?" I'm like, "Oh yes, we know that word here." But they'd always have one black male dancer, but it was center. There was never black female dancers in the Lido, but like, so he went, "Look, there's only room for one." And so he got hired, and then they started to push the Lido a little bit. Like, people won't audition if they don't see someone on stage like them. Mm-hmm. And so then they started to reach out into those, you know, the really high level dancers to come in. But then they go, "Well, why would they come in if you'd never see a person of color on the other side of the table?" So then they pushed them to have, like, he got to sit on the other side of the table and audition, because if you just see a sea of white faces and you see one person on the poster that's your color and your size, like, how important the whole process is of who's on the board, who's on the audition team. I love that story so much, because the Lido closed, but there's a picture of all these four beautiful men on stage, and they got giddy saying, "To see somebody like me on stage, that we get it. And also, it's not the token." It's like, why are there, and instead you go, "Why is it taking so long?" That's my question. Why is it taking so damn long? But at least it's happening. And we did a story about it. We took pictures. Yes, the Lido is closed, but those young men are now out in other shows. Like, this can continue, but someone has, it can't just be like, "Well, that one's the first, there's no second." If you're the fourth, there's a fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. It's like, but just having one person, like, "Well, that's taken. There's no space for anybody else."
Right. That's such a good point that you bring it up too, because, like, yes, it's great to see one. Yeah. But one is also can be the exception, right?
Right.
When you see multiple, it becomes normal. Then then it's more relatable. It's more achievable for the masses, instead of like, "Oh yeah, well, you know,
that's
Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson, you know."
Right. Yeah.
Now, if there were 70 Michael Jacksons, I don't know, maybe everyone would feel like they could be one. But that brings up a really good point there.
Well, I remember even when STG would bring in, like, when Dance Theater Harlem, or was it Ailey? I think I saw both. Even Ailey, I think it was Ailey I went to most recently. And normally when I go to STG, it's mostly white audience.
Yeah.
But then when I was there, it was not. And I watched all these little girls, and I was watching their faces, and boys, and yes, and boys watching their faces. I'm going, how weird it felt to realize that, have I ever been in a situation in the theater where it's like barely any people of color even watching it? And to see the audience mostly filled with people of color, and seeing those kids see that, and to see the stage full of people of color, I'm like, oh, this is so good for me as a white person to see this. Of my world that is just presumed white, and then to see the opposite and go, well, of course, these kids are going to think they have, even if they don't do it, if they just appreciate dance and that it's just for fun. There was something of seeing it at that capacity, and just the joy in the room of celebrating that. I'm like, damn, we need more, but we need, it's slow steps, sadly, but it is, there's people doing it, and with intention. Not just hope, absolutely, like, "Well, I hope they all come. I hope they know what I've got at class."
Yeah. And it does, the work has to be intentional. You have to go out there. You're filling a hole, but there's not a solution on how to fill that hole. Right.
Yeah. So you're a figure it outer.
Right. You got to be a figure outer. And so it's constantly trying new things. It's constantly putting yourself into different spaces and trying to invite, you know, different people to the room or to the circle. To have those conversations to amplify that.
Yeah. So do you teach, like, at either one of these places, or are you now administration only, or do you overlap
teaching.
Some of you are still teaching? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
As an artist, like, don't, if you could keep, it's a lot, but I'm like, man, for your own soul to keep that connection as a dancer and a teacher and do the administration. I think it just keeps us still connected to that world, even though you probably never leave it. It is beautiful that you're doing both.
Yeah. And I don't think I'll ever fully give up teaching or choreographing. Those are things that are stuck with me for life. But I am at a place where, like, I teach very little, right?
Yeah.
There was a point in my career where I'm doing like 15 classes a week.
That's
and
too much.
Now I'm like, two or three is more than enough for
yeah.
me.
Well, I know when I was doing so many, I mean, I had so much stamina before, but now when I've got two, I'm given everything. Cause I got this one class I'm going to pour everything into, instead of like, which class am I in right now? Did I already do pliés? I forgot if I already did that today. Like, it feels like the sacredness to still get to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I just hold on to it even more. Like, I can't, I'm 64 and every Monday I go, I can't believe I still get to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people could go take from a 20-year-old, but the fact that I still get to feeds my soul and it makes me want to give more than when I'm just burnt out from so much teaching.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or so much administration or so much, too much of one thing in an artist heart and soul.
It is, yeah, it's crazy because you'll go insane. So I like having like the little bit of variation because I do get tired of sitting at my desk. So it's nice to get up and move. But also that's, to me, that's also a large part of how I'm pouring back into like my students and into the next generation is like literally giving what I've been given. So like the admin side, the planning, all of that is fantastic. I love doing it because I'm, you know, I'm starting from the top bird's eye view and able to kind of orchestrate, but it's necessary for me to be inside of it as well. So yeah, I'm teaching ballet classes at Tupac. So I teach our academy level, which is our, like our performing top level of students. And then for Seattle Theater Group, I teach as a part of our Dance for Parkinson's program.
Wait, talk about that. Tell a little bit about that. I don't think I knew that. It was a thing.
Yes. So Dance for Parkinson's is a program that was developed out of Mark Moore's dance group in New York City. And I want to say that the program is now 20 years old. I know that this is an anniversary year. And so that program was developed for persons who are afflicted with Parkinson's disease. And it is a format that, or a class format that's taken primarily seated, but later on in class, there's an option to stand and movements are modified for that population to be able to really honestly have an opportunity to express themselves, to get some physical activity, some strengthening, some brain work. Mm-hmm. So we know dancers are smart. And so yeah, that program is great in that regard, and I also love it because it's taught by professional dancers who have either had like performing careers or educational careers, but it's not the Parkinson's population, or it's, you don't have to be diagnosed with Parkinson's to take the class, but they get that experience of really working with a professional dancer. Yeah. While the movement, the class is specifically catered to things that they'll be able to do.
I keep hearing over and over the whole person. You're teaching, catering, reaching out to the whole person. You know, sometimes as dancers, it's like, what can you do? As opposed to like, we have emotions and trauma and good and bad, and like how important the whole person is when you're mentoring, if you're just making people do tricks, but like to have someone like see you as a whole person. It keeps coming up in how you speak, which makes me think you're probably an amazing mentor.
Oh, thank you.
there's a lot of beauty in the things you're saying and with how much passion you say it, because I think we've missed it so many times in the arts that these are people, whatever we draw us in is a lot of times it's not the healthiest reason we're drawn to it, but we can heal in it. But you have to be a whole person, and then you have to be a whole person to be a teacher, an administrator, a choreographer, to actually help the world.
I'm extremely passionate about what I do. And sometimes it's to a fault because I'll give more of myself than I have.
That's the learning part too, is how to, what do you do for yourself to care for yourself?
I'm learning that right now. Because I am constantly on the go. So I'm getting better at managing my schedule and putting in, like, this is a day off. Say no to everything. There's big red blocks in my calendar.
Good job.
But on those days, it's, you know, spending time with my partner, spending time with my family. I'm very close to my family. So, and we just have a lot of fun together. So anytime I'm with like my mom, my dad, my brother, my nephew, this is the coolest kid I know. So being able to be like with and around them is great. Time with friends is always nice. And I love to travel. I haven't really done much traveling probably in the last year. That's not true. It's just all been work travel. Yeah. But I love to travel and not have to do anything.
That's a thing that when I got to dance and travel, it spoiled me, where I think, and I started traveling again a lot, But I thought, well, once I go to Italy, it'll be off my list. I'm like, no, now I have to go to Italy, to the other parts of Italy, and Spain's right
Yeah.
there. Well, now I'm in Spain, I have to go to France. And so it actually made it
Right.
more craving. But I like, because you have to carve the time out, because I know so many people burn out. And like, I like that when I'm thinking this, like, there's a difference between dance being your passion and dance being your obsession.
Yeah.
Because a passion can be healthy and you restore yourself so you can keep having your obsession will just bleed you dry and
Yeah.
make you mental and not usually very good to be around as a person to
And
share the
no.
arts, as opposed to, like, I can feel it when I'm with someone who's passionate, someone who's obsessive. And I've had teachers that, like, you're ruining this art form because of your obsessiveness and
Yeah.
how you treat people. But when there's passion, there's usually heart connection.
Yeah. And I've gone through both, honestly.
Yeah, no,
I
I
think
think a lot of.
when I was, I keep saying I'm only 30, and I keep acting like I'm really old.
Back when you were a
But
youngster.
I know I keep saying, back in my day. But when I was like in college, I would say I was close to that obsession, and it was more like with me. I've always been someone that's really hard on myself. I'm a Taurus, and I thought that I could hide it, but apparently people notice it. But that's when I was kind of in that obsessive phase of like everything. And I had a lot of ballet training. So it's like everything has to be perfect. If I don't stick this, that's not good enough. If the leg isn't high enough or turned out enough, and then that constant comparing with everyone else. And I
Yeah.
think now I'm definitely in that caption where I'm like, I understand what I have to offer. I understand what you have to offer. I
Ooh.
understand what we're going to be giving over here. And even though I'm giving, I have an expectation for everyone that I'm working with, students and all, to give their best back.
Oh yeah. That needs to be quoted, put up. You said that really beautifully. I have a question about choreography. Did you ever perform in any Cabby's choreography piece? Anything he choreographed?
Yeah, so we choreographed Black Nativity the first year that I did that, so
That's
I
all him.
performed there. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, is there anything else that he choreographed? No, because the other jobs that or gigs that he had me do with them, he had me choreograph, which I was not a choreographer
I was going to ask about
then.
that because that's something people like. I have people that want to teach at the studio and they have one combination. Like, you have to do this every week after week. And they're like, uh-oh. I just saw one piece of the Iwajo. Have you ever heard of Iwajo? It was in Seattle for a long time. Chris DeGray, Edna DeGray, they were there a long time. But
Familiar, but not, I haven't
yeah,
met,
I don't
no.
even know if it's sad because they really were a big staple in Seattle. More for like, I want to say, it was just different. It wasn't like the jazz and ballet. It was more like there was African, there was modern, it was deeply rooted. Edna was brilliant.
Yeah.
But we did a show, and I remember Cabby doing I Wear My Sunglasses at Night. Do you even know that song? I know you weren't born yet. The 80s are
No, I
so
don't
far.
know it.
And he had
Well,
sunglasses, and
maybe
he
he's
was,
played it.
I will have to play that, and I see if I can find that video because he was so cool. And he had his sunglasses, and he was coming out just, you don't know what he's gonna do. And then he pulls out like amazing technique. But I remember always being intrigued by his playfulness with his choreography because
Yeah.
he could be a diva, but the way he would choreograph pieces I see him do, I'm like, he was just his own. Because sometimes when you're meant or you follow someone, you kind of end up being like them until you find your own voice in
Yeah.
choreography. So are you choreographing now? Does it feel like something you're passionate about or something you have to do as a teacher? Like, how does choreography fit in
Yeah.
there?
I love choreographing. Right now I kind of go like this between teaching and choreographing.
Yeah.
And so yeah, choreography is high on my list, and I've always really been interested into it. Even before I started like formally training, I was choreographing. So I would like go to church and see like the liturgical, the praise dancers, and then I would go home and like in my room, I'm making up my own movement to songs.
Yeah.
So that's translated. I do love choreographing, and just getting the opportunity to like create, like that's the creative side, I think,
Yeah.
of what we do. Even though I love teaching, I'm also like, I call myself a classicist. I love classical forms. So I love classical ballet. I love like Horton technique, Graham technique, Lamone. Those to me are like building blocks of training.
Yeah.
And so I love being able to like, but when I'm teaching, I feel like I'm coming more from a rubric, right? Like I'm doing more of what's already been created, versus when I'm choreographing, I'm doing something that is speaking from me.
Oh, I love that. 'Cause there's two parts of that brain. There's a figured outer, which you can shift and all that, but then that other creative that comes from the real, that gets to be genuinely, that's beautiful. I actually we're gonna get closer in a second, but I wanted to make sure we tell people where, they can find Tupac. I'll make sure we do a link. And also performance, like Dance This, everyone should go to Dance This. It's usually July,
I think it's
August.
July. I'm going to say it's July 12th this year.
Everyone should go see that if you're in the Seattle area, because it's beautiful. It's done so well, and you get to see styles of dance maybe we don't get to, and you get to see it in their full regalia. You get to see all the color and the classic cultural thing that maybe people don't do as much, but the color alone, and to see all these people dancing together is beautiful. So I want to make sure like people who are in this area see that, and if they want to know about Tacoma, so where do they pay attention to these things that they can experience or at least research or know more about? And Cabby's legacy is in both of these.
Absolutely, which was another thing that I didn't know. I got hired at STG, and then like my first day, they were like, "Oh yeah, like you work at Tupac, you're Cabby's mentee. Like, did you know Cabby was involved with STG too?" I'm like, "No, I didn't." Like our offices are in the Paramount Tower, which used to be apartments. So they're like, "Oh, Cabby used to live in these apartments when they were apartments." I'm like, "This is crazy."
Yeah, he's everywhere.
I know. But yeah, so kind of where to find those things. Seattle website, social media for both Seattle Theater Group, stgpresents.org. So that'll link you to our website. If you're looking for like the specific programs that I'm involved in or that my department is over, that is our education and community engagement department, which you can typically there's a link on the STG website that you can access, and that will bring up all the information for the many different programs that we're running there. And then you can also find STG Presents on Instagram. I think we're on Facebook as well. And then same with Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center. So website there is www.tacomaupac.org. And then we have our social media, so Instagram at Tupac Tacoma, and then Tacoma Urban Performing Arts Center on Facebook.
I'm gonna look both those up and start following. Yeah, it's just so there's such beautiful, there's things like we don't even know are all around us, and so that's like the whole thing of story and where it comes from. I just think, because I did STG Dance This for maybe, I don't know, it was 8 to 10 years, and Cabby was there every year until my last one. And then when it was so weird to not have our time in the hallway, because we would get done at the same time and always check in. He would always make me laugh. I would say one of the words I think of for Cabby is playful. There was like always, but he was very professional, but he could be playful in that. And I think some people have a hard time being playful while being professional. I remember taking his ballet class at PMB and being so afraid. And he was playing music that wasn't traditional. And he came over and he kind of smacked me. He goes, "Lighten up, have some fun." I remember going, "I can't have fun in ballet." And then I loved that I didn't realize I was taking it so serious. And I go, "This isn't going to make world peace anywhere in the world by how you do a plie. We're just dancing." And so I feel like that joy that kind of switched my brain for ballet, because then I started taking from other people in my studio that also have that playful. Which doesn't mean now we're not going to try, or we're not going to have crappy technique. So that's one of the things when I think of Cabby is his playfulness, his excellence, and his community building. So that's how I want to end with how, when you think of some of his attributes that are him, but also what you might see in yourself that maybe is not related to Cabby, maybe it's just your own personality, or maybe there is some influence of what you take from that.
I don't know. I would be interested to see if anyone does see any crossover between the two of us. Because I always tell people, I said I knew Cabby as like one of his students, right? And so I didn't necessarily know, and I was a kid. I didn't necessarily know him like as an adult. But I echo kind of what you've said is what I always remember is his playfulness. He's so lighthearted, and he has the spirit that just it walks with him and it fills the room. And I
Absolutely.
see it every time I'm talking to someone who realizes our connection. When they reference just how much they loved him, how much they enjoyed him. And what I'll never forget is his laugh. And I know
Yes, oh
many
my.
people say that, but that loud, boisterous laugh and deep, heavy laugh.
Oh my gosh. I didn't I when you said I can hear that. That is so amazing because that's we don't live forever, but like those things that are still cabby around. And like you don't have and like you said, you were a kid. But sometimes I didn't even realize the influence I had, like by a teacher, one class with a teacher could have been something that changed how I saw myself as a dancer or how I saw dance. And they have no idea they affected me. And there's some people you could take forever and maybe not feel it the same. And there's other people like, no, this is something that changed in me in the moment. 'Cause you physically in your body, instead of knowing things in your head, when you're in your body and you get to feel that, it changes your chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as the, I think I was out of town when they had the, I want to say it was a memorial, it was a celebration of Cabby's life. And I pictured it was going to be at, like, I don't know, I thought a dance studio or maybe a church or a small something. It was at the Paramount. How many does that hold?
Ooh, gosh, correct number. I believe if we go all the way up to the top of the second mezzanine, I believe it's 2400.
And it was full. And they live streamed it. I don't know if it was full, but I know that it was like, because there's people that I know from Spectrum that he had touched. There's people that were part of Dance This, Ray Bussey's group. He was part of everything. His like influence was everywhere. And so it wasn't just one of these places. Like I think seeing that I realized like this is my friend Cabby that I only knew as Goofy Cabby that I did some stuff backstage with. I did not understand till later how far reaching his influence was. Like then I find out Tacoma, like East Seattle and Tacoma, he's poured himself out in such a way that brings that many people that want to celebrate him. I think it's not like we're not talking numbers, but it is show like a person with influence and does it well changes a lot of lives. It changes a lot of lives.
Absolutely. And his memorial was like a 2 hour dance performance.
Oh,
There's
wow.
just dancers from everywhere. Dance Theater of Harlem, Evergreen, other students that he had worked with individually. So yeah, it's just like I'm constantly learning more about like his community impact. And I think that's where I try to match or I try to live up to is making sure that I'm doing well by the community as well and pushing things forward. Yeah. And so, that's kind of where we align a little bit is that connectivity. I'm down in Tacoma and that's my hometown. That's where I'm born and raised. But now I'm up in Seattle and, making connections there and trying to really connect the two.
Yeah, a bridge. Yeah, because I think it's like, if there was a person who was a great choreographer and teacher, when they pass, you celebrate what they created, but to celebrate community that's still living. Because our art, it's on a video somewhere, like our VHS don't work anymore. Like most of the stuff we've created is forgotten. Nobody remembers what we did, but it's how you influenced a community and brought people together and made, treat them as a whole person. And that lives on. Like Cabby is still very much alive in Seattle and Tacoma and everywhere else. Reno, hello, Hollywood, hello. They had the reunion. We know Cabby's not there. We can feel the absence of his laughter, but we feel he's still part of this. And that's a community people down there. Like people didn't even know he had these other communities. We think we were the only special ones that got to have Cabby. Like there were so many people that can claim him as part of their family.
And it's just fun, like constantly learning about that legacy and who else is
Yeah.
plugged
Oh my gosh,
in.
that's so fun. That was just a moment. And I was so appreciative to get to do that. I can't remember what the theme was. Somebody wasn't teaching. I ended up doing like a showgirl style workshop. I can't remember what it
Or when
was.
you came to teach for us for STD.
Yeah. But I remember like you guys going, sure,
It
whatever you
was.
want to teach. The freedom of that was really fun.
Yeah, I remember it was we were supposed to be Hadestown, a
That's
class
right.
based off Hadestown, and you were inspired by the Muses.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I saw that I was because I was at Sign of the Times,
Yeah, that was my
and I was
opening
like
number,
in your
was that?
I was like that looks familiar.
Looks a little familiar. Yeah, the whole that I love that musical. And so I'm like, because there's not much dancing in it, I couldn't replicate that. I'm like, well, we'll stick with that outer, the gods. influence, but that was so fun. And I love that I got to go see that show. I think I got a comp that night and got to sit in a great seat. So SDG is also very generous for opportunities for people to see theater. You already referenced that, but it is like more people saw theater. We would have world peace. I mean, it would be all fine.
I think so. I'm like, if more people were involved in the arts, like there would be so much more understanding between people. If the arts forces you to be in environments that you wouldn't normally find yourself in and to engage with people that you wouldn't normally engage with, but that also creates that mutual understanding and that humanity where it's like, I don't need you to be what I've been surrounded by or what I'm used to. I just need you to be you, and I can appreciate where we may be the same and I can appreciate where we can differ.
I want to throw my hands up and say amen. That is a perfect place to end, Deshaun. That is beautiful because it definitely shows the importance and the beauty of the arts. And so keep doing what you're doing. Keep that passion and take your days off and like fill your soul so that you can keep giving and not like wear yourself out. But I'm sure our paths will cross again. We have a mutual friend that will make it where that's going to happen too. Yes. But I'm going to support anything with STG that comes up. Like things are back in my radar after COVID that I kind of forgot. I never missed Dance This. And so I'm like, I want to make sure I get back in that routine because I bring people because I say you need to experience what this joy is on stage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that'll be, I believe, July 12th.
Okay. I'll be paying attention. And also, Cabby, we know you're listening. We love you. Everybody listening that is specifically so listening for you. We know you're still here. You're laughing at the ridiculousness of us. And and thank you for the joy. I mean, and Deshaun, it's beautiful to see that live on in you. So we keep passing it down. Okay.
Thank you, Sherry. Mm-hmm. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. We've been waiting. It was so worth it. So thank you so much.